告诉他你没想到的问题，他告诉你。
大家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the Day， 我是米歇尔，米歇尔。今天我们的嘉宾依然是壮壮老师。
Hello, and today I'm going to introduce you to something that is quite inspirational. 今天的这个有一些个励志的色彩哈。Deborah Jarvis, who is the speaker, a lady, would give us a speech with the title of Yes, I survived cancer, but that doesn't define me.Deborah Jarvis had worked as a hospital chaplain for nearly 30 years when she was herself diagnosed with cancer. And she learned quite a bit as a patient. In a witty, daring talk, she explains how the identity of cancer survivor can feel static. She asks us all to claim our hardest experiences while giving ourselves room to grow and evolve. 这个 chaplain 这个是什么职位呢 ？Chaplain 就是牧师。
Chaplain
对，
特别林怎么说来着？
那是 chaplain
啊 ，chaplain
好像是差不多哈。这个 Deborah 一听就是女的名字，她是一个牧师，而且她的职衔里边还有 author， 她是一个写作者啊，就是 writer。然后这个人呢，他在临终关怀这样的场所啊，英文叫 hospice。
好，
他专门就是照料各种人快到了这个人生最后阶段的时候是怎样。For writer, ordained minister, humor is a powerful bomb. She is not afraid to be funny, even when doing very serious work with the sick and dying as a hospice chaplain. As a pastoral consultant for volunteer groups, caring for people with AIDS and MS and a staff chaplain at the Seattle Cancer Care Alliance. Deborah is the author of a number of books. One book is called It's Not About the Hair and Other Certainties of Life and Cancer, and numerous other books. Currently, on sabbatical in Geneva, Deborah's last stop was as writer in residence. 好，现在说一下这个人，什么叫 ordained minister?就是被任命的牧师，而且这个人呢很幽默，所以他说呢 ，humor is a powerful bomb。bomb 就是什么呀？
炸弹，
是那个 bomb 纯油。
哦
，BALM。对了，然后他就说的话，在安养院这种人生最后的这个时段呢，他也依然用这个幽默的力量啊，所以呢，这个人呢还是挺乐观的。
哦。我刚才理解错了，我刚才理解的是以为他又是一个牧师，同时在疗养院里照顾其他的老人，同时
他对，
他是自身住疗养院是吧？
不，他自身呢既是这个工作人员，同时呢他自己也是病人
啊。
他得的这个乳腺癌 breast cancer，
啊，
后来呢他就好了，所以他是个 survivor。
多大岁数？这个
人讲话的样子看上去感觉有70多了。你想他工作的年头就是 for nearly 30 years， 咱们就算他20岁开始工作的时候他也有50岁了，是吧？然后看着起来我觉得60-70岁的样子。然后还有一个词呢，说他目前 currently on sabbatical in Geneva， 在日内瓦。什么叫 sabbatical 呢？就是 it is a professional leave off work， 他就是工作期间暂停一段时间去进修或者休息，
停薪留职嘛，
就是这个意思。所以呢，你看这个英文就是用这种方式，或者你去上学呀，或者你就去玩，但是你就说我想去申请学习一年，上个课呀什么的，这种如果允许，我觉得挺好的。这个其实是对于本职工作会有促进的作用。
对。
好，然后呢，这个他呢，这在讲的时候呢，他不光要说自己如何战胜了这个病魔，他说更重要的是你要思考是什么东西使你成为现在的自己，define your own growth and how you yourself evolve。
什么东西使我成为现在的自己？我就想到了 ，you are what you eat。
啊，你吃什么？
吃的东西是我成为了现在的自己。
对，这个体哈，这个体还有 you are what you listen to。是吧，
改变了我。
然后这个他，所以他的这个 challenge 以前考过的口语题里边就有describe a challenge you came across and why you didn't think you could accomplish the task， 就你为什么当时你觉得是完成不了这个任务的、
嗯、
然后你 what actions you took and eventually what was the outcome、
嗯、
这都是托福和雅思口语都考过这个题、
嗯、
好，那所以大家在听这一段的时候呢，不妨也参考一下这个素材，是吧？然后你看看他是过去时他是怎么样描述的。而且我发现所有 TED 讲话的人里边，凡是有作家这个色彩的人，他都很会讲故事，
语言能力好，
没错。然后大家听的时候呢，你就会发现呢，其实这个开场白它是个问问题的形式，
嗯，
他会问你一堆的问题，然后引发你思考。那我们在写作文和考试口语的时候想到过用这个方式吗？比如说
不敢用，真的
不敢用吧。
嗯，
比如说我有一个题，就是 if you could choose a job, which one would you choose? A job that pays a very high salary,、
嗯、
or a job that gives you great personal satisfaction?
啊，对，这个是雅思，我在雅思里见过这个题，
托福里也考过这个题，
也有是吧？
对、嗯，就是你找这个工作，你是找那个工资高高的，
嗯，
还是要找那个成就感高高的？
嗯。
那么这两个工作呢，如果说平常呢，大家可能这个模式就是我要选一个工资高的一为一二三，或者我要选一个成就感高的一二三，
嗯，
这个比较平淡了。所以我觉得如果是要是借用 TED 讲话人他的这个提问的方式，
嗯，不知不敢使，
你可以说如果我们有了钱，
嗯，
我们能干什么呢，是吧、
嗯、
然后呢一二三四，然后说你看有了钱多好，所以我要选那个工资高的工作，这也是一个很有趣的开始。
主要是因为看到的就是范文里啊，或者是剑桥的一二三四五六七八九那里面的考官的那个范文里都
太平淡了，
有
对
用问题来做这个。但是我觉得这个肯定是不是也许雅思考试要求不一样的，
他没要求。其实写作我觉得最重要的一个王道的道理就是让看的人有兴趣，
嗯，
对吧？人家都没兴趣看，那就算了吧。
我觉得我写的挺好的呀，
是吧？所以你可能要尝试一下提问。
我是个有意思的人。
你是个有意思的人，这一点不容置疑。
我有很多秘密，我都会写到我的考卷里去。
反正我看你都写到嘴上了，
秘密都说出来了，
对呀，
秘密了。
所以说在写作的时候呢，大家可以大量的参考这个 speech。
嗯，
他之所以要抓人，他能被选做 TED 去发言，是吧？他事先也是经过精心的设计。
嗯，
我自己听 TED 以来的感觉就是有好多呢，他会给你一个特别有冲击力的一个画面让你去想。
嗯，
那我们用画面感这个手法要是去答刚才那个题，是吧？我确实在教课过程中让学生试了一下，就是有钱这个事儿
搂不住啊，
搂不住。学生上来就是在曼哈顿最高的建筑的顶层，
开始小清新，
我先对小资一下，说我配着浴衣刚刚洗了一个温泉澡，手里拿着一杯的红葡萄酒，眼前浮现着曼哈顿的夜景，然后往下就继续。你最起码前三句是给人一个
浮想，
没错，
连篇
浮想联翩的感觉，然后他就过渡到我要挣那个找那个有钱的工作，
我要让这个白日梦成为现实。
对的，所以呢，大家看这个画面感又比你干巴巴的说我要找有钱的工作一二三、
嗯、
要好得多。
嗯，
好，
那咱们现在来
听
一
下
吧。
I just met you on a bus, and we would really like to get to know each other, but I've got to get off at the next stop, so.You're going to tell me three things about yourself that just define you as a person. Three things about yourself that will help me understand who you are. Three things that just get to your very essence. And what I'm wondering is, of those three things, is any one of them surviving some kind of trauma? Cancer survivor.Rape survivor, Holocaust survivor, incest survivor. Ever notice how we tend to identify ourselves by our wounds? And where I have seen this survivor identity have the most consequences is in the cancer community. And I've been around this community for a long time because I've been a hospice and a hospital chaplain for almost 30 years.And in 2005, I was working at a big cancer center when I received the news that my mother had breast cancer. And then 5 days later, I received the news that I had breast cancer. My mother and I can be competitive. But I was really not trying to compete with her on this one. And in fact, I thought, well, if you have to have cancer, it's pretty convenient to be working at a place that treats it. But this is what I heard from a lot of outraged people. What? You're the chaplain. You should be immune. You know, like, maybe I should have just gotten off with a warning instead of an actual ticket because, you know, I'm on the force. So I did get my treatment at the cancer center where I worked, which was amazingly convenient. And I had chemotherapy and a mastectomy and a saline implant put in. And so before I say another word, let me just say right now, this is the fake one. I have found that I need to get that out of the way because I'll see somebody go. And then I'll move or I'll gesture or something. So now you know. I learned a lot being a patient, and one of the surprising things was that only a small part of the cancer experience is about medicine. Most of it is about feelings and faith and losing and finding your identity and discovering strength and flexibility you never even knew you had. It's about realizing that the most important things in life are not things at all, but relationships. And it's about laughing in the face of uncertainty and learning that the way to get out of almost anything is to say, I have cancer. So the other thing I learned was that I don't have to take on cancer survivor as my identity, but boy, are there powerful forces pushing me to do just that. Now, don't please misunderstand me. Cancer organizations and the drive for early screening and cancer awareness and cancer research have normalized cancer. And this is a wonderful thing. We can now talk about cancer without whispering. We can talk about cancer and we can support one another. But sometimes it feels like people go a little overboard and they start telling us how we're going to feel. So about a week after my surgery, we had a house guest. That was probably our first mistake. And keep in mind that at this point in my life, I had been a chaplain for, you know, over 20 years, and issues like dying and death and the meaning of life, these are all things that I'd been yakking about forever. So at dinner that night, our house guest proceeds to stretch his arms up over his head and say, you know, Deb, now you're really going to learn what's important. Yes, you are going to make some big changes in your life, and now you're going to start thinking about your death. Yep, this cancer is your wake-up call. Now, these are golden words coming from someone who's speaking about their own experience. But when someone is telling you how you are going to feel, it's instant crap. The only reason I did not kill him with my bare hands is because I could not lift my right arm. But I did say a really bad word to him, followed by a regular word, that made my husband say, she's on narcotics. And then after my treatment, it just felt like everyone was telling me what my experience was going to mean. Oh, this means you're going to be doing the walk. Oh, this means you're coming to the luncheon. This means you're going to be wearing the pink ribbon and the pink t-shirt and the headband and the earrings and the bracelet and the panties. Panties. No, seriously, Google it. How is that raising awareness? Only my husband should be seeing my panties. He's pretty aware of cancer already. It was at that point where I felt like, oh my God, this is just taking over my life. And that's when I told myself, claim your experience. Don't let it claim you. We all know that the way to cope with trauma, with loss, with any life-changing experience is to find meaning. But here's the thing. No one can tell us what our experience means. We have to decide what it means. And it doesn't have to be some gigantic extroverted meaning. You know, we don't all have to start a foundation or an organization or write a book or make a documentary. Meaning can be quiet and introverted. Maybe we make one small decision about our lives that can bring about big change. Many years ago, I had a patient, just a wonderful young man who was loved by the staff. And so it was something of a shock to us to realize that he had no friends. He lived by himself. He would come in for chemotherapy by himself. He'd receive his treatment, and then he'd walk home alone. And I even asked him, I said, "Hey, how come you never bring a friend with you?" And he said, "I don't really have any friends." But he had tons of friends on the infusion floor. We all loved him, and people were going in and out of his room all the time. So at his last chemo, you know, we sang him the song, and we put the crown on his head, and we blew the bubbles. And then I asked him, I said, "So what are you going to do now?" And he answered, "Make friends." And he did. He started volunteering, and he made friends there. And he began going to a church, and he made friends there. And at Christmas, he invited my husband and me to a party in his apartment, and the place was filled with his friends. Claim your experience. Don't let it claim you. He decided that the meaning of his experience was to know the joy of friendship and then learn to make friends. So, what about you? How are you going to find meaning in your crappy experience? It could be a recent one, or it could be one that you've been carrying around for a really long time. It's never too late to change what it means, because meaning is dynamic. What it means today may not be what it means a year from now or 10 years from now. It's never too late to become someone other than simply a survivor. Hear how static that word sounds? Survivor. No movement, no growth. Claim your experience. Don't let it claim you, because if you do, I believe you will become trapped. You will not grow. You will not evolve. But of course, sometimes it's not outside pressures that cause us to take on that identity of survivor. Sometimes we just like the perks. Sometimes there's a payoff, but then we get stuck. Now, one of the first things I learned as a chaplain intern was the three C's of the chaplain's job: comfort, clarify, and when necessary, confront or challenge. Now, we all pretty much love the comforting and the clarifying. The confronting, not so much. One of the other things that I loved about being a chaplain was seeing patients a year or even several years after their treatment. Because, you know, it was just really cool to see how they had changed and how their lives had evolved and what had happened to them. So I was thrilled one day to get a page down into the lobby of the clinic from a patient who I had seen the year before. And she was there with her two adult daughters, who I also knew, for her one-year follow-up exam. So I got down into the lobby, and they were ecstatic because she had just gotten all of her test results back, and she was NED, no evidence of disease, which I used to think meant not entirely dead. So they were ecstatic. We sat down to visit, and it was so weird because within 2 minutes, she started retelling me the story of her diagnosis and her surgery and her chemo, even though as her chaplain, I saw her every week, and so I knew the story. And she was using words like suffering, agony, struggle. And she ended her story with, "I felt crucified." And at that point, her two daughters got up and said, "We're going to go get coffee." And they left. "Tell me three things about yourself before the next stop." People were leaving the bus before she even got to number two or number three. So I handed her a tissue, and I gave her a hug. And then, because I really cared for this woman, I said, "Get down off your cross." And she said, "What?" And I repeated, "Get down off your cross." And to her credit, she could talk about her reasons for embracing and then clinging to this identity. It got her a lot of attention. People were taking care of her for a change. But now, it was having the opposite effect. It was pushing people away. People kept leaving to get coffee. She felt crucified by her experience, but she didn't want to let that crucified self die. Now, perhaps you are thinking I was a little harsh with her. So I must tell you that I was speaking out of my own experience. Many, many years before, I had been fired from a job that I loved, and I would not stop talking about my innocence and the injustice and the betrayal and the deceit until finally, just like this woman, people were walking away from me. Until I finally realized I wasn't just processing my feelings. I was feeding them. I didn't want to let that crucified self die. But we all know that with any resurrection story, you have to die first. The Christian story, Jesus was dead a whole day in the tomb before he was resurrected. And I believe that for us, being in the tomb means doing our own deep inner work around our wounds and allowing ourselves to be healed. We have to let that crucified self die so that a new self, a truer self, is born. We have to let that old story go so that a new story, a truer story, can be told. Claim your experience. Don't let it claim you. What if there were no survivors? Meaning, what if people decided to just claim their trauma as an experience instead of taking it on as an identity? Maybe it would be the end of being trapped in our wounds and the beginning of amazing self-exploration and discovery and growth. Maybe it would be the start of defining ourselves by who we have become and who we are becoming. So perhaps survivor was not one of the three things that you would tell me. No matter. I just want you all to know that I am really glad that we are on this bus together. And this is my stop.
好的，今天呢，我们就跟大家分享这么多的内容，也是很丰富的，够了，够大家能梦上一晚上的了。希望我们之后的节目呢，也对大家有帮助。我们明天见。
The other people watching me, and we're all people watching the other people watching we, and we're as lonely as we wanted to be, we're all as lonely as we wanted to be, just as lonely as we wanted to be.
下一期大学生英语在线将继续为您带来托福听力的内容。
接下来您将听到的是私房拷贝。 Coming up next is home video.
Treat me.